Well, we're in week six of Road to Recovery, and I hope you've caught up. I hope you are caught up with us, and you've been around. And if not, you can see all of our sermons all the time. Thank you to Kyle and his team for making that possible. But they're on the website at ngate.ca, and you can go and check them out. But this week we're on week six. So far, we've kind of we started by discovering that we're not God, and we were kind of disappointed, and then we moved on. And then we discovered that there is a God. He cares about our story. He wants to be a part of it. He can make a difference for us. And we've moved along recognizing that we need to give him our lives, that we want him to shape our character, that we need to learn how to figure out what are the things that we're walking through and give those over to him. And these next 3 weeks, we're going to finish out the series. And we're doing it in a little different order than the R-E-C-O-V-E-R-Y, which is how we have been running with the recovery acrostic. We're going in a little bit different of an order because next week, Daniel Smith is coming to preach here. Does anyone know Daniel Smith? Daniel Smith is our newest team member. He's coming on staff with us next year to lead an internship. Actually, he's coming on staff in just a couple months. And he's going to be leading an internship with us and also is going to be fairly involved with Gilardi Academy. And we're just excited for him to share his vision and passion about the internship next week. We already have people signing up. We already have a bunch of people interested, and we've hardly even put it out there yet. And so, praise God, we're going to have some young folks come in here to the Comox Valley saying, I want to serve this church and this Comox Valley and Jesus, and I'm going to give my whole life to it. That's exciting. I'm really excited about that. So next week, you should be here, and you should hear from Daniel Smith, and then he's going to lead us afterwards. We're just going to learn a little bit about how we can get involved, so it's going to be awesome. Well, this week we're talking about, we sometimes carry along in this recovery journey for a while, and it's good, and we feel strong, and we feel like we've made it, and we've accomplished a lot, and eventually we can start to get a little comfortable with our recovery. We've taken a few steps forward, and we say, I think I'm probably good now. I probably don't need a lot of help now, and we can sort of start to slip backwards a little bit. We're talking in classic recovery terms about relapse, talking about what happens when we fall back a little bit, and how does that happen, and why. This week, just yesterday actually, my body's a little sore right now because yesterday I loaded 2 cords of wood into my woodshed. And it was wet wood, okay? For some of you who are like, who cares, 2 cords? No, it was wet wood and my body's tired, okay? So next year, when your electric power goes out and you're cold and you need to come in our house for our warm wood stove, then you're going to be thanking me for carrying those 2 cords. Anyways, I hauled those with Dave Eliason, came to my house and he was splitting the wood, and just, that guy is an absolute machine. I don't know how he does it, but for me, I'm like, just dead. Can we just take a few coffee breaks here already, Dave? You know, I'm just worn out. My hands are all covered in grossness, and I'm just thinking, I should be praying for someone right now. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm not a wood carrier. But anyways, I was putting it into the shed that, here's the big news, that I built all by myself. And some of you again are like, I've built 5 houses. I'm like, what are you talking about? But anyways, I built a shed, and it's awesome. And so my friend came and helped me. It was a while back that I realized I'm going to need more space to get through a nice warm winter next year. And so I decided I needed to build a shed. I picked the spot. I planned it out. And there was a garden there at the time with a bunch of kind of nothingness. And then so a couple little ugly sheds that weren't quite going to work. They're too small. And so I knew that to get this shed where it needed to be, I had to move these other ones and dig up this garden and level out the ground and get landscaping paper down and then pour rocks in and then put blocks in and then build the shed and put it on. I knew that I was going to have a bit of a journey ahead of me. But I geared up. I sort of thought, you know what? It's got to happen. I can do it. I'm ready. Let's go for it. And so I started chipping away at it, started working, getting everything done and getting it all in place. And then it was good. It was awesome. Well, then Dave came yesterday and he was helping me with wood. And I said, yeah, check out my new shed. Isn't that awesome? He goes, yeah. You know it's going to need a roof on it, right? Really? No, I did know that, okay? But I just haven't gotten to the roof yet. I got the whole thing up, and we started loading it with wood. And he says, and the realization was, without a roof, all of this was useless, right? If I just stack all the wood nicely, there you go. Look at that, in a nice framed building that the rain pours in on. I haven't gotten anywhere, have I? I haven't accomplished what I needed to accomplish. All it is a roof. You can think, it's just a little part of the shed. Like, it's not, I got the framing, I got the foundation, I dug up the garden, I moved to the other ones, I did all of that stuff. I planned it, I drew a blueprint. Yes, I did. I did all of these things. Like, really? I've only missed a small part of this so far. Is that all that big of a deal? The answer is yes, it is a big deal. Sometimes we get all geared up and we accomplish about 90% of a project, and the last 10 we just say, that's going to be easy. I'm already done 90. The 10 should be no problem. Anyone ever had an unfinished project in their house? No one? Yeah, okay. My wife in Victoria, when we used to live in Victoria, people, when they move out, they would just put all their stuff on the side of the road. And so we'd drive down the streets. I don't know why I ever let this happen. And we would just load up everything. Oh, this is only going to take a quick sanding and a quick this, and we'll just strip this part down and rebuild this. And no problem. We'll just put it in your bedroom for now or something. We'll just leave it. We had tons of unfinished projects at our house because everything, all it needs is just the little last bit touches on it. Oh, we just need the last bit. Everything else is done already. Sometimes it's like that with our recovery journey. We've taken a lot of steps. We start to feel good, and we can get comfortable feeling like, look at what I have gotten through. Look at the way I have walked so far. Look at what I have seen. Look at what God has accomplished in me. I'm probably good now. I'll just ride out the momentum. I'll just ride out what's been started. I'll just carry on with what's already happening in my life. That should be fine. We get kind of complacent. We leave things alone, and all of a sudden we're starting to slip backwards. Say, maybe I don't actually need that counselor that I had for a while. I think I probably don't need that accountability that I had with that person. You know, before when I was walking through that hurt or that hang up or that habit really deep, I needed that accountability. But now I've come a long way, so I probably don't need them anymore. Maybe you started going to Celebrate Recovery and you showed up there and you needed it. But then you sort of get a little bit less desperate because you've made a few steps and you got a little bit of breathing room in your life. Say, well, you know what? I'm a few days in, or a few weeks, or a few months, or a few years. Probably I'm good. I'm moving forward now. I'll leave that aside. I'll pull out of that small group. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need those things right now. I am doing pretty good. That's the first step that often leads us into a place of moving right back to where we once were. Where we fall back to where we were, we discover that actually these habits are kind of deeper into our life than we realize. Those hurts that we thought we were walking out of start to play a role in our lives again. We start to feel them again, and they start to rule a little bit in our lives. This week, our step in the road to recovery is to reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. This week, what we're talking about is that relapse is a reality for us, that we can fall back into the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups that we've been walking out of so far. But God wants us to have relationship with Him daily. God wants us to reserve time with Him daily. That doesn't mean see if it comes up. He wants us to reserve time for us. We have to actually work for it still. We still need to plan time and put things into motion. I planned a lot for my shed. I knew I was going to do it this day. Kendall and I communicated. Just so you know, Kendall, you'll be with the three kids, and I will be doing the hard work over here. Just kidding. I can only say that in a second service because Kendall's not here. I'm just saying it because I know that's a joke. I'm going to go build the shed. You take care of things. We planned it all out. We knew what was going to happen. We knew where things were going to go and everything. But I haven't planned the roof yet. At some point, I'll get to the roof. I'll get there. It's going to be on there. It's going to happen. It's going to make the wood dry, and it'll be great. But we don't put the same effort in later on because we start to feel good about things. We still need to have effort in that area. We still need to walk with God in that area. We still need to reserve time with Him. We still need to walk with people that we've been accountable with. We still need to seek out the will of God and follow it in our lives. In Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, who had a pretty amazing recovery story in his own life, he's talking to a bunch of people who they had learned about Jesus and followed Jesus. Jesus showed up and he told them, here's what you have to do. Just believe in me and follow me and watch what will happen in your life. And so they did. They did that, but then Jesus was gone and they started saying, you know what? We believed that Jesus was all we need, but now he's gone. Maybe we should revert back to our old ways and just try to be righteous through the law. We'll just try to do good things, and as long as we're doing good things, we'll be good. And here's what Paul shows up and says to them in some fairly strong language. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? He says, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? He says, you started this journey just by walking with Jesus, by trusting Him, by believing in Him. You started this journey believing that you are not God and you need God. You started this journey recognizing that you can't recover yourself. You started there, and now here you go, you're carrying on, and now you think it will be by your own righteousness, by your own ability to follow the law, that now you will carry on this journey. Paul says, what happened? Why is it that you start here and then you just drop that off and you go back to where you're at? Because we forget the pain that comes in life when we're walking in recovery. We forget what it feels like to carry unforgiveness in our heart. We forget what it feels like to spend so much money that we're in debt every month and we have no idea what we're going to do. We forget what it feels like to binge eat and feel like we're just gross. And we forget what that feels like. We forget what it feels like to let people down and look at images that we shouldn't look at on the computer. We forget what it feels like to jump into another terrible relationship that is not uplifting for you or for anyone else. We forget what it's like because we've come a little ways. And so we say, I'm maybe okay now. And God's saying, wait, I still want to walk with you. You started with me. I want to carry on with you. You started in my grace knowing that you can't save yourself, but I can save you. I want to keep that journey with you. It's not that you start with me and eventually you graduate to being righteous all by yourself. I want you to never graduate from me. I want you to never grow out of me. I want you to always rely on me. So would you give me your year? Would you give me your months? Would you give me your days? Would you give me your moments? Would you reserve some time just for me and you? So I can speak to you and lead you so that you never grow out of me or think that there's a solution outside of me for your life. There's a guy named Peter in the Bible, and Peter was just a fisherman, and Jesus, when he was walking the planet, came up to Peter and said, Peter, listen, I want you to follow me. Why don't we go fishing? Peter goes out and he hasn't been doing well at fishing. Jesus does this very miraculous thing. All of a sudden, Peter gets a lot of fish, and Peter realizes he's with someone very special. Peter says to Jesus, listen, you need to leave me. I'm not good. I'm unclean. You need to go away from me. I'm a sinner. I can tell you're someone important. You need to leave. Jesus says, Peter, why don't we go together? Why don't you follow me? Why don't I make you a fisher of men? Why don't I do something special with your life? Okay, sure, you're a sinner. I get it. And sure, I am something pretty special, more than you know. But I want you with me. Will you come with me? And Peter's so blown away that Jesus would want him to walk alongside him. He says, okay, I'm coming. He puts down his net. He puts down his job. He puts down his life. He puts down everything, and he follows after Jesus. Peter has no concept of what's about to happen in their life. All he knows is that someone very important, someone powerful, someone incredible is speaking into his life. And all he knows is that he's not worthy of this, and yet he's been invited. Peter starts the journey. He gets to do some really neat things. He walks on water. He's part of all of these incredible miracles. He sees just amazing things with Jesus. And over time, Peter starts to sort of rely on himself. Starts to recognize that maybe some of the things that I've done are actually in my power, not in Jesus' power. Maybe I am more capable than I thought. Maybe Jesus wasn't bringing me on because he liked me. Maybe he knew that I was really needed on this team. So I feel pretty good about myself, Peter was saying. And then Matthew 26, 31 to 35, we see the pinnacle of Peter's pride. They're sitting around at dinner. Jesus is about to die. And in verse 31, it says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. No. If there's anyone who's going to stay strong, it's Peter. It's Simon Peter. Don't you remember who I am? I've walked on water, Jesus. Don't you know who I am? You sort of feel like, what happened to the Peter who said, I'm nothing. You need to get away from me. What happened to that guy who believed that everything that he was going to be found in Jesus? What happened to the guy who believed his entire purpose was wrapped up in what Jesus was going to do in his life? What happened to the one who didn't think he could accomplish anything outside of Jesus? Now Jesus is saying, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to die. And Peter says, but I will stand because I'm capable and I'm strong. This is Peter's relapse moment. This is Peter's moment of falling into pride and starting to lean back onto his own strength rather than God's. Stay humble or you'll stumble. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples declared the same thing. When I came on to this church 2.5 years ago, it was an interesting experience for me to start leading this church. I felt underqualified in so many areas. For so many reasons, I felt like I'm not the guy to lead this thing. Someone else should. I don't know how I would do that or how I would accomplish that or what that would look like. And so I can clearly remember all the moments leading up to me coming on here and just feeling like this is not me who can do this. I think you need to find someone who's maybe a little older or maybe a little more experienced or has walked through a few more things or you know, more hair or something. You should find someone different than me because I just didn't really think that I could do it. I remember one of my first Sundays here. It was actually this moment where I got up during worship and God had spoken to me clearly and he had said, Evan, what I need you to do today is I need you to just make sure that you get out of my way so I can do what I'm going to do. And so I get up to the front and I say, today my role in this church is just to get out of God's way. And everyone cheered. Woo! And I'm thinking, I guess they don't want me here. get out of his way. Let him come. And I felt very much that nothing was going to happen in this church if God wasn't here. I'm not going to be able to accomplish anything, God. I can't make everything right. I can't fix anyone's problems. I don't have the right things to say. I don't know how to do all these things. You're going to need to do it, God. If you're sending me there, you're going to need to do it. This morning, I was praying with a friend before the service. And I realized it all sort of came together. I've had an interesting couple weeks. There's been more things. There's been a few things that we've recognized that I can't fix around this church. Some relational things, some personal things, some things that people are walking through that I can't fix. Our team can't fix. We can't resolve some things. And I've been in this place of like, God, what's going on? Am I not the right person? Why can't I fix some of this stuff? Why am I even here if I'm not going to be able to fix the problems in this whole place? And God, just this morning, just before the service, this wasn't part of my plan or my notes beforehand, but God said to me, Evan, I thought you were coming here and I was going to fix. I thought you knew. You were pretty clear with me at the beginning that you can't fix it and it's going to rely on me. When did you decide that this was about you fixing problems? When did you decide this was about you discipling people? When did you decide this was about you building relationship or you setting up a church or you reaching in mission? When did you decide that this was your church and not mine? And therefore, when did you take on all of this extra pressure that I didn't give you to take on? That was just this morning. I realized I had relapsed. My people pleasing in me had relapsed. My desire to make everyone happy with me, my desire to make everyone happy with the church, my desire to make everyone resolve their challenges and their issues, my desire to fix it all, I had relapsed into the people-pleasing rather than God-pleasing. I had fallen back into this place, and God corrected me and said, Evan, this is good that you relapsed so you can share about this, but this is not your church. You can't fix every problem. You can't fix every person. You're not going to resolve every situation, and I haven't asked you to because I'm God and you're not. First step of this recovery journey, realize you're not God. I had forgotten. I relapsed. In Mark 14:37-38, Peter now is out with Jesus. This is after the dinner, and Jesus is praying because he knows what's about to happen to him. He's about to die. And Peter and a couple of others who were really close to Jesus had brought them along to pray because these were the strong guys. These were the guys who were really going to support them. Finally, Jesus had a need for them, and he said, all I want you to do is come with me, and I want you to pray. He goes off and prays, and they all fall asleep. Verse 37 says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. And Jesus says to the one who said, I will do anything and I will be there for you and I will walk with you and I'll be powerful enough and I'll be mighty enough and I'll be all of that. He says to that one, Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need our flesh to give way to our spirit. We need our flesh to give way to God's spirit in us. If you decide that your recovery journey is manageable by yourself at some point, you will walk back into maybe not the same hurts, maybe not the same habits, maybe not the same hang-ups, but you will walk back into something. Maybe all of a sudden, maybe it used to be drugs and alcohol. And you walk out of that and you watch God free you from that and you experience the fullness, and that's so good. And then you start to rely on yourself and you feel like you're strong and good and mighty and you're capable and you have this pride. And then with that pride comes a lot of people not really wanting to be around you because you're always talking about yourself and how great you are and how much you've accomplished. And now instead of drugs and alcohol, you revert to loneliness and you feel broken, you feel rejected, and you feel like, why doesn't anyone like me when I'm such a great person and I've accomplished so much? What's going on? And where does that lead you again? Maybe to overeating, maybe back to drugs, maybe back to alcohol. Who knows where it leads back? But if we start the journey with Jesus, we need to finish the journey with Jesus. He never says, now go, now take off. I've raised you up. I've taught you what you need. It's not like a lion cub. I've given you a year or 2 years with me. Now you go hunt on your own. You go do your own thing. No, Jesus says, now we've got eternity together. My son, who's 3 years old, kind of started getting it this morning as the Spirit was moving. He said, I want Jesus with me and with us forever. Jesus doesn't say, here's your recovery period and now you're on your own. He says, your recovery period is life with me. I want you. All of it, forever. You and me, together, forever. That's who we'll be. We have a testimony video today that I want to show you. And we support a ministry called Stepping Stones, which is just across the street from the church. And it's a beautiful ministry that just supports women who are in transition. And we just love to care for them, look after them as much as we can. And it's led by a woman named Teresa. And Teresa is going to share her testimony with us today about recovery.
My name is Teresa. And growing up, I felt very invisible and never felt close to people. So in my early teens, I turned to drugs and alcohol. That took me down a really bad road for a number of years. And I finally came to a place where I knew I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. I had three small children. I was a single mom. And I reached out to Alcoholics Anonymous. It was through Alcoholics Anonymous that I came back to God. How I came to Christ was, there was areas of my life that hadn't changed and I didn't understand why. And there was some people that were, some ladies that were in Al-Anon actually. And I just knew they had something, but I didn't know what. Their eyes sparkled and they were just full of joy. And I phoned them up and I said, you've really got something. What have you got? And they said, well, I've got Jesus. My first reaction was I wanted to hang up the phone and say, oh, one of those. And I couldn't. And they came and they talked to me and I accepted Christ. And from that point on, my life started to change. I have to say today, my life is more than I could ever have imagined. I never thought that I would hold the position of honor that God's given me with helping other addicts. My family, they trust me. Which is amazing, because before they couldn't trust me at all. And I can't say enough about what God has done in my life and the healing that he's done in my heart is phenomenal.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. Hey, today maybe you feel like you're a Teresa, where you feel like I've seen something in some people, the sparkle in the eye, as she talked about it. Maybe you even see that here in church and you're wondering, what does it take for me to get that? What does it take for me to experience that life? And that is the same answer to you today as it was to her then. It's Jesus. And instead of hanging up the phone, like she said, maybe it's time to make that connection. Maybe it's time to welcome him into your life and talk to someone about that, pray with someone about that, and walk into life with Jesus. If so, there's a card somewhere near you, close to in front of you, and we would love for you to fill that out. Let us know about yourself so we can contact you and talk to you a little bit about Jesus and the recovery journey that you're on. We'd love to share about Celebrate Recovery, about small groups, about how you can get involved here. And we'd love for you to walk with us here. Maybe today you're a Christian. You've been here a long time, and you don't have that sparkle in your eye right now. You've lost it. Maybe you feel like you're slipping back into some old ways. There's hope for you. Today, return to Jesus. Give your life to him. Reserve some appointments with him daily, and watch how the Word of God, how prayer, how meeting with others, and how growing with others and showing up to church, it's going to start to change your life again. It's about his strength and not yours. He will give it to you as you seek it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week this week. We love you. We're so thankful for you. Come on back next week for Daniel Smith sharing about the internship. Bring someone. It's going to be fun. See you later.